The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Nassim and Elias Basan Hashem Yishmenem V'Hayim, in memory of their mother Sarah Bat Malka Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Daf Mem Dalid. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Amiruchemet Sheneftered Bekitzur Yamim Veshanim. Mazal Bat Frida. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Gimal Amud Bet, and we start three lines from the bottom. And yesterday's daf, we learned that we had a great machloket between Rabbi Yosef and Abaye, how the mitzvah of Arava was fulfilled in the Beit HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Yosef, all the Kohanim would do with this Arava mitzvah was they would stand Aravot around the Mizbeach. Would just stick him against the Mizbeach, and that would be the mitzvah. Hence, according to Rabbi Yosef, there would be no need to commemorate the mitzvah of Arava after the time of the Beit HaMikdash, because there's no way we can really do something Zecher LeMikdash because we don't have a Mizbeach today. So what are you going to do with the Aravot? Whereas according to Abaye, he said no, they would actually take the Aravot and walk them around the Mizbeach. They would take them and walk them around. So there was an inyan in taking the Arava, taking it, shaking it. So therefore, the Chaura, the question should be, in Eretz Yisrael, where we know they were clear on when the holiday was, because they knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara is going to ask, seemingly, they should do something on the seventh day of Sukkot, to commemorate the mitzvah of Arava. The Gemara is assuming that you're only going to commemorate the mitzvah of Arava one day. Even though in the Beit HaMikdash it was a seven-day mitzvah, the Gemara is going to discuss why we only have to commemorate it one day. But the point is, the Gemara is saying we should commemorate it according to Abaye on the seventh day of Sukkot, even if it falls out on Shabbat. We should take Aravot. We shouldn't worry about the Mukseh aspect of it, because since we're doing something Zecher LeMikdash, so the Mitzvah of Arava should override Shabbat if it's the seventh day, and we should take it. So the Gemara asks, Ve'ela Nijhu. According to you, that you tell me that there was a Mitzvah to take the Aravot, they should override the seventh day, even if it comes out on Shabbat. Rashi says, bottom line, kevad de benetila, since the mitzvah is netila, taking it, haba yesh lo la'asot zecher l'mikdash, you should do something to commemorate the Beit HaMikdash, and it will be a commemoration, because by taking it, you're commemorating what they did in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Rashi says, yesh la'asot zecher l'mikdash ve'litchei shvi'i dile Shabbat. It's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Kevan de anan lo dahinan inu name lo dahu. So the Gemara says, listen, since the people in Bavel, they do not do the mitzvah of Arava if the seventh day falls out on Shabbat. Why? Because again, we learned in yesterday's Gemara that they were not certain when the last day
or what the last day was. Well, we know it's Shabbat, but they were not certain if it's still Sukkot or not, because depending on what last month's Elul, was it a Chatzer or was it a Maleh? Was it a 29 day month or a 30 day month? So that's going to affect when Sukkot is. Now, since a lot of times they don't get the report in Bavel of what happened in Eretz Yisrael with the sanctification of the month, so therefore, since they're not certain if the seventh day, which fell out on Shabbat, is it really the seventh day of Sukkot or not, so therefore the Hakamim came along and said in Bavel they do not take the Arav. They did not want to waive the rule of Mukseh of taking the Aravot in a case where it might not even be Sukkot. So the Gemara is saying we want to keep unity. Once already in Bavel they're not doing it, finish. So we don't want to have now groups that in Bavel they're not doing it, in Eretz Yisrael they're doing it. So therefore they wanted to unify Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Gemara means when it says Kevan de'anan lo dahinan, since we in Bavel do not override the seventh day, inu nameh lo dahu. So therefore us in Eretz Yisrael also are not going to be dohe. So that explains Arava. Now if you remember, we learned in yesterday's daf as well, a similar law applied to Lulav. What did we say? We said Lulav in Bizman HaZeh, there was no Beit HaMikdash, the first day that falls out on Shabbat, we said in Eretz Yisrael, where they're certain that it's the first day of Sukkot, because they know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, so they would actually shake the Lulav on Shabbat, first day. But in Bavel, that they were not certain exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, they would not. So you made a difference. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Here you tell me unification, you want to keep everybody equal when it comes to Arabah. But when it came to Lulav, we didn't say that. So the Gemara asks, Ve'ayom tov arishon, regarding the first day of Sukkot that fell on Shabbat, Dildidan lo dacheh, for us people living in Bavel, we don't take the Lulav on Shabbat. Lulav, it does not override Shabbat. But for them, meaning for Erev B'nai Israel, it is Doche. That's not the same. Gemara answers, you're right. Amre, ledidhu nameh lo dache. You're right. For the people of Erev Israel, they also do not shake the love in the first day. We're retracting what we said above. All Gemara above, we want to make a difference. And say, in Israel they did, and Bavel they didn't. Now we're coming along and say, we don't want to make pockets. We don't want to make groups. Like that, she says, Shelo la'asot Israel agudot agudot. We don't want to splinter up Klal Yisrael to make them groups. V'nir'eh k'shte torot. Now it looks like we have two torot. In Bavel, on the first day of Sukkot, on the Shabbat, they don't take the lulav. In Eretz Yisrael, that same year, they're taking the lulav. It looks like we have two different laws. Dildida lo dahai lulav Shabbat. So the Gemara says, hold it. We have a kasha based on this new understanding. What's the kasha? We had two mishnayot. One mishnah said that when the first day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbat, they would bring their lulavim from Erev Shabbat, because you can't carry, obviously. So they would bring their lulavim Erev Shabbat, and they would put them in the Bet Knesset. They would put them in the synagogue. The language of the Mishnah is Bet Knesset. Another Mishnah says, when Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkot fell out on Shabbat, they would bring their lulavim Me'erev Shabbat to the Bet HaMikdash. So the Gemara questioned, you know, why one Mishnah refers to Bet HaKnesset and one Mishnah refers to Bet HaMikdash. So the Gemara answered. What was the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara is going to tell us now what the Gemara answered. Ve'ela, kasha hani tarte. We have a question of what we learned in those two Mishnayot. Detana hada, one Mishnah said, kol ha'am ulichin lulavim harabai. Now one said, they brought their lulavim on Friday to harabai. That's the Bet HaMikdash. Detani idach. And the other Mishnah said, Lebet HaKnesset. Umitalzinan. And how do we answer on the other daf? Kam bizman shemekdash kayam. Kam bizman she'em Bet HaMikdash kayam. Which means we made a haluk like this. When the Bet HaMikdash was around, so then they would shake the lulav in the Bet HaMikdash 7 days. So therefore, on the first day of fell on Shabbat, they would bring their lulavim on Friday to Harabayit. When the Bet HaMikdash was not around, still in Eretz Yisrael, since they knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, they were certain when the first day was, so they would bring their lulavim to the Bet Knesset. So you see what? That even after the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, in Eretz Yisrael, they still shook the lulav on the first day of Sukkot that fell out on Shabbat. So how are you telling me now that, no, once the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, to keep unity, so the Knesset doesn't look splintered, everybody's going to not shake it on the first day? What do you mean? That's the way we entered the Mishnayot, which is the Mishnah that said that they brought their lulavim to the Bet Knesset on Friday. That was talking about Bizman She'en Bet HaMikdash Kayam in Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill the mitzvah. What are you talking about? I thought you told me that when it comes out on Shabbat now, nobody's going to shake the lulav to keep the unity. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, no, don't answer like that. We have to revamp that answer now as well. Idi v'idi Bizman She'Bet HaMikdash Kayam. Both those Mishnayot are referring to the Zman of the Bet HaMikdash. Which means, in the Mikdash, we understand, when it came out on Shabbat, the first day, they brought the Lulavim on Friday to the Harabayit. So what does it mean when they brought it to the Bet Knesset? Meaning, areas that were close to Yerushalayim, where the Bet Din was, that heard exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, they're considered Gevulin. According to Shitat Rashi, even Jerusalem is considered the provinces, because anything outside of Harabayit is considered Gevulin. So therefore, any province close to Eretz Yisrael enough, where they'd be able to know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was exactly, and therefore they were certain that the first day of Sukkot was indeed Shabbat, they would actually also fulfill the mitzvah as well. And therefore, they wouldn't go to the Bet HaRabayit. They're not next to the HaRabayit. They would go to the Bet Knesset. Yeah. So therefore, both Mishneot are specifically referring to Bizman She'en Bet HaMikdash Kayam. But once Bizman She'en Bet HaMikdash Kayam, therefore, just like in Bavel, they did not take lulav on the first day, because they didn't know, so too, Eretz Yisrael, meaning Yerushalayim, they would not take the lulav as well. Why? To keep uniformity. Ah, but that Mishnah, those Mishnayot, was referring to Bizman She'en HaMikdash Kayam. And look at the Rashi, Big Bulin. Now again, you just have to keep in mind, when it says Givulin over, it doesn't mean Givulin, the provinces of Bavel. Givulin over, you have to say the close ones that were able to know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, they were able to hear. Givulin, Rashi, Molichin Lebet HaKnesset, Dechulu Bizman HaBayit, Davukulu Ba'aris, everybody was in the style of it, Usmuchim, and they were close. The Yod Bet Din, the Yod Im Ema Tukba Chodesh, and they know exactly when the Chodesh was established. Aval Ata Meshaharim Bet Hamikdash El Nulav Dochei Shabbat Afil Lubnei Eretz Yisrael. But today there's no Bet Hamikdash. First day that falls on Shabbat, there is no Nulav. That's the Minhag Halacha today, based on this Gemara. Amar Le Abaye Le Rabba. Okay. Mai shena lulav da'avdinan leshiv'a zecher lemikdash, umai shena arava delo avdinan leshiv'a zecher lemikdash. Question. We know the only mitzvah of shaking the lulav 7 days was in the Beit HaMikdash. Usmachtem nefnei Hashem Elohechem shiv'at yamim. There's a mitzvah to have the simcha of lulav 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash. Outside of the Beit HaMikdash was only mitzvah to shake the lulav one day. Ukachtem lachem ayom arishon. One day. So today that we're shaking the lulav 7 days is a commemoration to the way they did it in the Beit HaMikdash. There's no mitzvah d'oraita 7 days today. The 7 days of lulav is zecher to the way they did it in the Mikdash. Good. Now, there was also a mitzvah from the Torah of mitzvah arava. As we learned on yesterday's daf. Either they walked the arava around the mizbeach, or they just stood it up against the mizbeach. Now that mitzvah also was a 7 day mitzvah. However, we only commemorate that mitzvah one day. On the 7th day of the holiday, which we call Hoshana Rabba, we take aravot. And what do we take an aravot? Those aravot are really to commemorate the mitzvah that they did in the Beit HaMikdash for 7 days. So the Gemara asks, why when it comes to lulav, which was a 7 day Beit HaMikdash item, you're commemorating it for 7 days Bizman Hazeh, but when it comes to Arava, which was also a 7 day Beit HaMikdash item, you're only commemorating it 1 day the last day. So Amar le, so he tells him, Ho'il ve'adam yotze yedei chovato ba'arava shebedunav. So he answers him, says, because you're in doing it every day. Because in the lulav, there's arava also. So when you're taking the lulav, it's like you're taking the arava as well. So therefore it is a 7-day commemoration. Amar le, what are you talking about? Ha'u mishum lulav hu deka avid le. Which is what you're talking about. When you're taking it with the lulav, that's for lulav. You're not taking it for the mitzvah of arava. You can't tell me that, oh yeah, I'm doing it when I take the lulav. No, that's lulav. This is a separate mitzvah for lulav. This is, you don't fulfill the arava mitzvah. Maybe you pick it up twice. Which is maybe the custom was, first you pick up the lulav, leshem, lulav. And you put it down, you pick it up again. Okay, now I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah arava. Maybe that's what the custom was. So the Gemara says, no. V'amma asim b'chol yom, delo ka'abdin enache. Which means, go look, there's everyday occurrences that people don't do that. Which means, it's a nice thought to do that, but bottom line, in Klal Yisrael, nobody was doing that. They were taking the lulav, they put it down. So they were, you tell me, oh, maybe that's what they did, maybe they picked the lulav up twice, and they didn't do that. Mitziut, ma'asim b'chol yom, it was not being done. So therefore the question then is, why only one day commemoration for arava? Amar Rav Zvid Meshemet de Rava Lulav de Oraita Avdinan Shiva Zechel Mikdash Arava de Rabbanan Lo Avdinan Shiva Zechel Mikdash. Kibbutz gives the first answer here. Kibbutz, big difference. Lulav in the Beit HaMikdash for 7 days was de Oraita. Usmachtem, Nefnei Hashem, Noechem, Shiva Shamim. And since the mitzvah of Lulav was de Oraita, so we make a 7-day commemoration for a de Oraita. Whereas the Arava in the Beit HaMikdash was only midrabbanan. And therefore for a midrabbanan item, we'd only make a 1-day commemoration. So the Gemara says, Liman, according to who is it the Rabbanan? What do you mean? You tell me Arava is the Rabbanan? Which opinion could you show me that holds Arava is only the Rabbanan? Gemara says, Ilima the Abba Shaul. Then we tell you, it's the opinion of Abba Shaul that says Arava was the Rabbanan. Can't be. Ha Amar Arve Nahal. When the Torah talks about taking arava on Sukkot with your lulav, it says arve nahal. It says a plural. Why plural? Arve nahal. Ketiv. Shtayim. You have to take two. Ahat lulav, ahat lamikdash. The arve nahal tells us what? One for your lulav, and one for the mikdash, meaning going around the mizbayah. So you see clearly, according to Abba Shaul, it's the oraita, the mizbah of arava. Il rabbanan, hilchita gemirila. And if you're going to go according to the rabbis, opinion, they hold that the mitzvah of Arava was actually halakha l'moshe mishinai. The amar of Aseh amar of Yohanan mishum Rabbi Nehonya ish pekat bet hortan eser neti'ot Arava v'nisuch amayim halakha l'moshe mishinai. As we learned, there was a 3 halakha l'moshe mishinai. One of them was eser neti'ot. Just to review very quickly, that was a law of Shemitah that says that normally the halakha said that Shemitah starts in Tishri, and really from a month before, according to the Torah, which is Elul, they had already stopped plowing the fields and tending to their fields. That's considered like a Tosefet Shemitah. However, this did not apply to Eser Neti'ot. Eser Neti'ot were 10 small tree saplings that were planted in 2,500 square amah field, and the Halakha Moshe Sinai says you're allowed to plow the entire field. Why? Because 10 saplings evenly scattered in such a field benefit from the nutrients of the entire field. And if you're going to only plow next to each tree, they're going to die. You actually have to plow the whole field in order for the 10 trees to exist. Whereas regular trees, the law would be Elul, and then the rabbis even preempted trees back to Pesach or Shavuot. And therefore, the Adush by Halakha Moshe Mishnah is that when it comes to Eser Neti'ot, you can put up to Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to worry about the Tosefet Shemitah. Because that was one Halakha Moshe Mishnah. The second Halakha Moshe Mishnah was Yisuch HaMayim. Then on Sukkot, you pour water on the Mizbeah as well as wine. And the third Halakha Moshe Mishnah was Arava. Now, it should be that on Sukkot, you go around the Mizbeah with Arava. Now, there's no connection between these three Halakha Moshe Mishnahs. We learned earlier, since they were set in the Bet Midrash together, so it always groups these three together. But what do you see? According to the rabbis, Arava is indeed a mitzvah d'oraita. It's halakha le Moshe v'sinai. So what are you telling me? Yeah, Arava is d'rabbanan. D'rabbanan according to who? We didn't find any opinion that says Arava is d'rabbanan. So he goes, Ela amar av zvid m'sheme d'rava lulav di'itle ikar min ha-Torah b'gbulin avdin ha-le-shva'a zekhe le-migdash. Arava de'letle ikar min ha-Torah b'gbulin lo avdin ha-shva'a zekhe le-migdash. So the final answer of Zavid is now. You know why you do 7 days for lulav? Bezman hazeh? Because lulav has a source from the Torah that you have to shake it in the provinces. How many days do you shake it in the provinces in the Gibulin? 1 day. How do you know that from? Ulkahtem lachem bayom rishon. So since we have a clear pasuk in the Torah that tells us that we shake the lulav in the provinces, so therefore we still shake the lulav in the provinces today, 7 days, zecher to what they did in the Beit HaMikdash. Because not only is it a Torah law, but it's an explicit Torah law for the Givudin. However, Arava, it's not explicit. There's no pasuk in the Torah that clearly says you have to shake the Arava at all, especially in the Givudin, not at all. And therefore, since it's not an it is a Torah law in the Beit HaMikdash, but since it's not written explicitly that you have to shake the Arava at all in the Givudin, so we don't do it a 7 day item, we do it a 1 day Zecher in the Mikdash. So the basic answer is, one is explicitly in the Torah, and what is not explicit. So the explicit one, you make a 7 day commemoration, and the non-explicit one, you make a 1 day commemoration. That's the final answer. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ishtakish, new point. Kohanim Ba'ale Mumin. You have a Kohen, it's Ba'al Mum, he's a blemished Kohen. Nichnasim, they would enter Ben Ha'ulam Vela Mizbayah. They would walk between the Ulam, or call that the antechamber, and the Mizbayah. Kedel Latzeit Ba'arava. In order to fulfill the Mizav Arava. And the Shakish says, a big Hadush. Normally, Ba'alei Mumin are not allowed to enter that area between the Ulam and the Mizbayach because they're blemished Kohanim. But he says, when it comes to Sukkot and fulfilling this Mizvah Arava, even Ba'alei Mumin can go to the area and they take the Arava and they fulfill the Mizvah. So it's a tremendous Hiddush. Now the question is, how can the Shekhi say this? So some want to say two answers. Either Ba'alei Mumin are only assumed Rabbanan to be in that area. And since the Mizvav Arava is Deoraita, so the Hachamim waive their Rabbanan law in lieu of the Deoraita. Someone would say, no, the Ba'alei Mumin is actually a Deoraita. So how can it be waived? So they use the principle of Aseh Doheh Lo Taaseh. The Mizvat Aseh to shake the Arava overrides the Lo Taaseh of not being allowed to go next to the Mizbeah if you're Baal Mum. So either way, they were working with, you know, the halakhic principles, but that was just a Kishish Chadush. So comes the Gemara and says, let's look at that sheet for a second. Kohanim, Baal Mumin, Afem Dohakim. They would also push themselves, V'nichnasim, and enter, La'akif Biraglehem. Right, to walk around the Mizbeah by foot, V'arava Biyadam. Okay? ואין אומרים להקיף שלא יכנסו בין העולם למזבח. And we don't, no, I'm sorry, ואי אפשר. ואי אפשר. It is impossible להקיף שלא יכנסו בין העולם למזבח. If you're going around the מזבח, you're going to have to walk around that area. Now, as she continues, וכל השנה אסורים להיכנס שם. All year long, a Baal Mum is not allowed to enter over there. כדאמרים במסכת כלים, בפרק ראשון. Fine. So אמר לה רבי יוחנן, what's that, רבי יוחנן heard this from Ishtakish. He comes along and says, "Mi amra? Did he say such a thing?" Now, what was the Hava Amina of the Gemara? What was Rabbi Yohanan shocked about? Did he say such a thing? So look at Rashi. Mi amra? Hashta salka datach dachi kabar. Mi amra shi choba? The kama latzet by yede choba, which is the language of the Shtakish, was kede latzet be'arava. Mashma that it's a deoraita law to fulfill their obligation. So Rabbi Yohanan said, what, did the Shekish really say that it's a deoraita to fulfill their obligation? Is there indeed an obligation that Rabbi Yohanan's asking to do the Araba? So the Gemara says, what kind of question is that? Mi amra? Ha'ihu amar. What are you talking about? Rabbi Yohanan himself is the one that holds that Araba is Deoraita. How? The Amar of Yase, Amar of Yohanan, Mishum of Nehonya is Bekat Betortan, Eser Nitiot, Arava, Virisukamayim, Halakalam Shemesinai. So therefore, what was Rabbi Yohanan saying? Rabbi Yohanan heard the Shtekis say, in order for them to fulfill the obligation of Arava. So Rabbi Yohanan says, what, did he really say that? That Arava is a Deoraita? So the Gemara is asking back at Rabbi Yohanan, what are you talking about? You're the one that taught us. And the Deoraita from Halakalam Moshe, Mesinai. Ela mi amra bintila? Did the Shtekish really say that they would actually take the aravot bintila? Dilma biskifa. Maybe the mitzvah is sekifa. Which means maybe latsetba doesn't mean they would have to take the aravot themselves and you assume because they walked it around the mitzvah. No. Maybe the mitzvah is zekifa. Yesterday's Gemara we had a sefek. Maybe it's either nitila or it's either zekifa. And therefore, if it's zekifa, you don't need anybody to take these except one kohen. Which is, if you're telling me the mitzvah is nitila, okay, then everybody has to walk around with a arava and shake it and walk around the mizbeah. But if you're telling me the mizbeah is zekifa, so what do you even tell me? Balim, mean, taking it, putting it, all these one kohen to stick it on the mizbeah and it's done. Now, mi amra b'alim u'min, dilma b'timimim. And secondly, who told you that b'alim u'min could do this mitzvah? Maybe it could only be fulfilled by timimim, only by kohanim that are unblemished. Which means, Rashi, mi amra b'netila v'te chovat kohanim. If you're going to learn it's a chovat netila, then it's an obligation on all the kohanim, that's it. But who told you it's a chovah and netilah, that all the kohenim have to fulfill their obligation? Dilma b'skifah, v'chohen ehad zukvah. And maybe only one kohen has to line it up against the mizbeah, al yedei kohen chovah al kulam. And secondly, where did you get this heter to tell me that ba'alei mumim could even do this mitzvah? Maybe it's davka by timimim. So Yohanan challenged Rish Lakish on two fronts, right? He challenged him on the way you fulfill the mitzvah, and who is able to fulfill the mitzvah.
Even if
you say the mitzvah is to take it, each guy, who told you ba'alei mumim can fulfill this mitzvah? Maybe it's tafka with the mimim. So you got him on both fronts. First of all, maybe the mitzvah is only by one kohen to raise it against the mizbeah. And even if you want to tell me it's mitzvah for every kohen, who told you ba'alei mumim can stay in that area of the mizbeah? Maybe it's only by the mimim. Good. So now the Gemara goes further. New point. Itmar. Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Had amar arava yesod nevi'im v'had amar arava minhag nevi'im. This mitzvah of arava, again on the seventh day that we take the arava, it's mahloket what the institution was. One rabbi says it was yesod nevi'im. That means the nevi'im actually instituted this mitzvah to take Araba on the seventh day. But some want to say, no, it's not Yesod Nevi'im, it's really Minhag Nevi'im. They instituted the Minhag, which means they started the custom. Now, what's the difference if it's Yesod Nevi'im or Minhag Nevi'im? So look at that sheet. Yesod Nevi'im, who? Takanat Nevi'im Aharonim, Haggai Zechariah Malachi. They were the last members of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the men of the Great Assembly. So according to the first opinion, they actually established it. Shayu, v'metakanet takanot Yisrael b'Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Minhag, hinhigu et ta'am. They just accustomed Klal Yisrael, v'lo tiknu lahem. Now that she says, v'nafkamina, t'lo ba'aya b'racha. T'leka lememar v'tzivaru da'afudu b'chlal lo tasu leta. Which means, if you say it's an institution of the Nevi'im, it's a rabbinical institution, so already the Torah says, "Lo tasur man adaber ashi degidu lecha." We have an obligation, do not sway from what the rabbis tell you. So therefore, you can make a beracha. Asher k'dishan al-tav sifar amitz vat lulav. Where did the Torah command us? Lo tasur. You cannot turn away from what the rabbis teach us. But if you say we're just a minhag, well, a minhag, we don't make a beracha on a minhag. So that's enough coming up. You say it's yesod Nevi'im, or Minhag Nevi'im. So comes the Gemara and says, now we don't know who said what. We're just two rabbis, Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi Yoshua. One said Yesod, one said Minhag. So comes the Gemara and says, Tistayim, Rabbi Yohanan, who da'amar Yesod Nevi'im. Let us conclude that it was indeed Rabbi Yochanan that said it was a yesod. It was an institution of the prophets. The Amar Abu Amar Rabbi Yochanan Arava yesod nevi'im. Clearly, tistayim conclusive proof. Amar le Rabbi Zera Rabbi Abu. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan ache. Did Rabbi Yochanan say that? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Nechonya Ish Pekat Bet Chortan Eser Netiot Arava Vinisu Chaman Alakal Hashem Sinai. What are you talking about? Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that the Arava is Alakal Hashem Sinai. Tell me, it's only an institution of the Nevi'im. So the Gemara says Ishtomem Kishahada. He was silent for one moment, which means he got him. When the Bizrat told Abu this question, the Abu couldn't answer. He says, it's a good question. How am I telling that he holds Yesod Nevi'im if he said it's Alakal Moshe Mesinai? So he answered, Ve'amar Shachum Ve'hazru Ve'yazdum. She's really, originally it was Alakal Moshe Mesinai. But what? They forgot it. Certain laws in Bavel were forgotten over time. And then when the rabbis came along, and they had to reinstitute it, this forgotten law. Okay? Rashi, Shachum, Begalut Bavel. When the Jews were exiled to Bavel, Shachu et Torah b'mitzvot b'miksat. Well, obviously, exile causes you to forget things. You're exiling, so you forgot some part of the Torah. V'nishtakha legamre. This law of Arava, walking around the Mizbeah, or shaking it on the seventh day, forgotten. V'hazru nevi'im aharonim. So the later prophets came along, v'yazdum al pi adibur. And they came along, al pi adibur, al ruach hakodesh, and they reinstituted it. So the Gemara says, no. It can't be. Why can't it be? The Gemara is not going to prove to us that in Bavel they were more fluent in the Torah than even the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you can't tell me as a result of Galut Bavel, Torah was forgotten. On the contrary, the Torah in Bavel was very strong, because the Gemara is going to tell a story. Actually, the Gemara is going to say a statement that Rabbi Yochanan made. Rabbi Yochanan is going to make a statement like this to his students. I thought the Torah was by us. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. But really now I'm realizing the Torah is by them. And what was the statement that he made? Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achid. Rabbi Yochanan said that they forgot the law in Bavel. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Dilchon Amre. Which means originally I thought Dilchon, that the Torah belongs to us. But really I'm realizing Dilhoni. It's really theirs. Now, in what context did Rabbi Yochanan say this? So that she tells us a whole story. Rav Kahana was a student of Rav, who was a very sharp student. He was very harif, as she says. He originally lived in Bavel. But the Gemara over there in Babata tells a story that he murdered somebody. He ran away. Dafkana. Legally. But as a result of the murdering, they were coming after him. So he had to run for his life. So Dafkana ran from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And who did he go study with? Rabbi Yochanan. Now, when Rabbi Yochanan started to study with Dafkana, he saw how smart he was. Many of Rabbi Yochanan's questions, Rav Kahana had answers. So Rabbi Yochanan was shocked. He said, I taught the people in Bavel with the Galut and all that, they forgot the Torah. Now I see, if this is the Torah of Bavel, I see they're better than us. And as she quotes, Aval ra'iti shishil b'nei Bavel shafapish galu, even though they went into exile, amda lehem hachmat ha'chayresh v'masgir. When they exiled the Jewish people to Bavel, there was two waves of exiles. First was the Haresh and the Masgir, which literally means the Harash and the Masgir, is the carpenters, literally. Who are these carpenters? Those are the rabbis that they nicknamed them as the carpenters, that Nebuchadnezzar exiled them in the first wave. Those were Yehoyachin, Tamid HaChamim, and therefore, those rabbis established Torah and Bavel very strong. Shigalum Yechonya, Kedichtiv, Hakod Giborim. Says all those people that exiled to Bavel originally were the Giborim. They were the strong ones. Osim Milchama, warriors. Betanya Besedar Olam, Vechima Gibura Osim Bene Adam and Atunim Bishal Shelosh to Bavel. What do you mean? These are exilees. They went out to Bavel in chains. What kind of Giborim are them? So that she says, Ela Shigiborim Ayub Melhamtash Torah. They were warriors in Torah. Alma Sfilir Yochanan Delonish Takah Torah Begalut Bavel. So you see clearly, you can't tell me that Rabbi Yochanan said, oh yeah, originally it was Halakam Shem Sinai. And then, as a result of Galut Bavel, they forgot the law, so the Nevi'im came along and reinstituted. What are you talking about? You can't be. Galut Bavel did not cause forgetting the Torah, because Rabbi Yochanan himself was the one that was more impressed with the Torah Bavel than the Torah of Israel. So the Gemara says, La Kasha. It's no question. Kan be Migdash, Kan be Gibuli. We're talking about two different times over here. Which means, in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, it was Halakha Moshim Sinai. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. When did Rabbi Yochanan tell us that it was Yesod Nevi'im? Yesod Nevi'im, that was after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, that you have to take the Arava one day, on the last day of the holiday, to commemorate what they did in the Beit HaMikdash. This big evil, that's after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And therefore, two different periods. Huh? According to Rabbi Yochanan, you would. Now we all do, we don't hold like that. We all do Sbenag Nevi'im. And therefore we don't make a Berakha. But the point is, that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's trying to say, Rabbi Yochanan made both statements. One time Rabbi Yochanan said, Halakha Moshe Sinai, this is much for the Mdash Kayam. And when he said that it's Yesod Nevi'im, that's after the Mdash Kayam, Bikibulim, Zech Le Mikdash, you take it for one day, that's only a Takana of the Hakamim. And Rabbi Nishaki says, "Well, Rabbi Yeshua said, let's minhag Nevi'im. And we posek Rabbi Yeshua, therefore we hold minhag. That's why we don't make a beracha on the Araba of the last day." Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rav Amir, Araba Sericha Shi'ur." Okay, now we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Araba on the seventh day, not the Araba of the Lulav. The Araba of the seventh day. This mitzvah that we take the Araba, it needs a Shi'ur. Now, the Gemara is going to tell us later on what shi'ur are we talking about over here. It's not going to be referring to the height. We're discussing shi'ur. How many leaves do you need
to be kosher?
How many stems do you need first? And how many leaves on each one for it to be kasher minimally? That's the shi'ur. Because now she's going to tell us, while for lulav, we learned the shi'ur is 3 tefachim.
Yeah.
Right. It has to be 3 tefachim high. But for the mitzvah of Araba, called shi'ur. There's no shi'ur of how tall they have to be. Now, the minhag is to take tall, nice ones like we'll see in the Gemara, but Minadin, there's no really shiur in height of these aravot. Ve'ena nitelet ela b'fnei atzma. Second law, you only take it alone. You don't tie anything else with it. Meaning, we want it to be recognizable that you're taking it for the mitzvah of arava. If you're going to tie something else with it, it's not going to be noticeable. So if you take it, just the sticks of the arava. Third law, ve'en adam yotze yedei chovato ba'arava shebedulav. And you do not fulfill your obligation with the arava from the lulav. Well, the Gemara says this is repetitious. Kivan de amar mor en ani telet ela b'fnei atzma. You just told me that the arava is only taken by itself. Peshita de adam yotze ba'arava shebelulav. Well, obviously you can't take it with the lulav. The lulav it's with something else. So what are you already repeating the law? Actually, I would have thought like this. Maybe, you know why you can't take it with the lulav? Because the purpose of the lulav is for lulav. And it's not recognizable that you're taking it for araba. However, if let's say you picked it up for the lulav, and then you put it down again, and then you picked it up for araba, now I may think, since the second time when you picked it up, you did it specifically for the pikavana of araba, now it's noticeable that you're doing it for the mitzvah. But if you lifted it up, and you repeated it, and you picked it up again, I would have thought that maybe it's okay, which means maybe that's considered you did fulfill the mitzvah. Kamashmalan, no. That when it's attached to the lulav, no, I don't care if you picked it up twice, you still are not yotze. Good, so let's review the three laws. Number one, got to have a shi'ur. We don't know what the shi'ur is. You can't tie anything else with it, nor can you fulfill the mitzvah when it's attached to the lulav. Even if you picked it up twice, meaning the kavanah for the arava. Good? Comes the Gemara and says, V'rav hazdam barav yitzhak. Adam yotze yedei chovato ba'arava shelulav. Hazda says no. You do fulfill your obligation, which means in a kind of, if you pick it up twice, the first time you pick it up for lulav, and the second time you pick it up for the mitzvah ba'arava, you did your mitzvah. That's what machlokah regarding that. Skip the parentheses. Ve'kama shi'ura. Okay, now what is the shi'ur? Amar of Nahman gimel bade'alin lahin. Three badin, three sticks, meaning three aravot, with alin lahin, that have moist leaves on it. So three aravot with moist leaves. That's the shi'ur. Rashi says sheyesh bechol ehad alin lachin, and in each one of the three you have moist leaves. V'Rav Sheshat Amar afilu ale ehad ubad ehad, even one stick, one arava with one leaf. Now it's mashma the way he said it, one arava, one leaf, even if it's not attached. It's mashma, you have one mamash stick, bald stick without any leaves, with one leaf. So the Gemara says, what? Ale ehad ubad ehad salgadatach? Is that possible? They have one stick of arava with one leaf not even attached? Ela ema afidu ale ehad bebad ehad. One leaf attached to one stick. Okay? So that's the minimum amount. Now look at Rashi. Ale ehad bebad ehad. Bad ehad, okay. Ubo ale ehad. Bedayo. That's enough. Dechi amrinan le'el shloshat tefahim. Above we said the minimum size of arava is what? Three tefahim. Legebe lulav hu de'amrinan. That was by the mizvav lulav. Shetehe arava arucha shloshat tefahim aval. Arava shegum kefin ba befne atzma. Kol de'usagi. The arava even is enough to have a cold shoe. The ashtanagu davi murbiot anafim arukim viyafim shemitkira mitzvah ba'ayin yafa. Today that she says the mitzvah has been asked to bring, doesn't say five, but he says the mitzvah is to bring long, beautiful ones in order to show the mitzvah. But minimally, you can even take cold shoe. Okay? Comes Gebaran says, Amar Aibo. Who is Aibo? Rashi says, the father of Rav, Abu de Rav. Hava ka'imna kamed Rabbi Azar bar Sadok. So I was once in front of Rabbi Azar bar Sadok. Ve'aiteha hu gabra arava kameh. So a certain guy came in front of Rabbi Azar bar Sadok with arava in front of him on the seventh day of Sukkot. Shakil. So Rabbi Azar bar Sadok took the arava. Habit, habit, ve'la barich. Habit, according to Rashi, means he shook it. He shook the araba, you know, whatever, a few times. And he did not make a beracha. Kasabar, minhag, divi'imu. Must be yod, it's minhag. And therefore, as opposed to a yesod. And therefore, since it's only minhag, divi'im, there's no beracha, minhag. That's why Aibo did not make a beracha. Rashi says, habit, habit, lashun ni'nua. It means to wave it. That's the way they did the mitzvah. They didn't bang it. They just shook the lula. The araba zecher the mikdash. Now the Gemara tells another story. Aibo v'hiskiya. This is a different Aibo. Since we mentioned the name Aibo, we're bringing another story, but this is a different Aibo over here. So Gemara says bene barte derav. They were actually the grandchildren from the daughter of Rav. Aitu araba lekame derav. They brought araba in front of their grandfather, Rav. Habit habit vela barich. Same thing. Rav took it. He shook the araba. Habit habit vela barich. Kasabar minhag nevi'im. He was told that's also minhag nevi'im. Gemara tells a story. Amar Aibo. Aibo said, Havak, this is the second Aibo, the grandson of Rav, not the father. Amar Aibo. Havak ka'imna. He says, one time I was, actually no, this could be the father. This could be the father. This is the father, because you can see he's in front of Rabbi Azab Rabbi Sadok. And the father was also in front of Rabbi Azab Rabbi Sadok. Amar Aibo. Havak ka'imna kamed Rabbi Azab Rabbi Sadok. Nothing to do with Arava, but since we told the story of Aibo and the Bezab Rabbi Sadok with Arava, we're going to tell you another episode with Aibo and the Bezab Rabbi Sadok regarding Shemitah. What happened? Atal kameh gavra. Certain guy came in front of the Bezab Rabbi Sadok. Aibo was there watching the story. Amarle, so the fellow tells the Bezab Rabbi Sadok, Karaita Itli. Which means, says, villages. And the guy's a landowner. He's like, I own karaita. I have certain villages and farms and real estate. Karmaya itli. And I also have vineyards. Vizetaya itli. And I also have olive trees. Right? I have olives. He's giving him his what he has. Ve'atu bene karyata. And the people of the village came along. What they're doing for me is they're plowing for me. They're working for me. They're plowing my vineyards. And I give them as payment
the olives, which means they're not going to work for free. So they're plowing my fields, but their payment, I give them to eat from the olives. And she says, "Beskar hafirat keramim ve'enam mafkiram na'aniim." It was the year of Shemitah. He said, "Listen, Rabbi, I know I'm not being mafkir. I'm not making my fields hefker. I'm giving the money to pay for the plowing. Arich or no arich?" So he asks, Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak, "Am I doing right or am I not doing right? Is correct or not?" Now he tells him back, "Amar le lo arich." That's not correct. Now, really, min haTorah, min haDin, he was correct, because according to the halakha, you're allowed to give the zetim to the workers as a matana, as a gift. They're not different than any other people, and that gift can serve as their payment. Wow. However, and that's what this fellow was doing. He was paying them as before you get to the plowing. The plowing, we're going to see, also was permissible. It was possible to be permissible plowing, but the point was the paying. How are you paying? You have to make mafkid ra'anim. But the halacha says no. If you pay as given as a gift to them and not as a payment, because you realize you're not allowed to do transaction with Shemitah. Says la'achila or le'ochla ve'lo le'shorara. So you're doing transaction. No, he wasn't doing transaction. But the problem is, Aibo, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok had was marit ayin. It looks like you're transacting. So I told him, that's what I was asking, arich or no arich? Is it proper or is it not proper? Mm. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok told him, "I don't like it. Marit ayin, it looks like you're transacting in the front of Shemitah." Hava kashavik le ve'azil. So he right away, he left. The fellow heard the psak halacha. He went. Now, where did he go? Right away, when he heard the psak, he's not allowed to pay them, so he went to stop them. Oh. Which means now he's giving them these fruit over there. So he went to, in the middle of the, right, he got the psak, he left them. He said, "That's it." That's, so he wanted to stop the
correct the situation,
exactly. Amar, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak was very impressed. He says, "Kadu aviti daire be'arah hadayz." I've been living in this land mem shenin for 40 years. Velo hamiti, I have not seen bar inash, a fellow like this, mehalech beurhan de teknan, that's going bederech hayashar keden, like this guy. Nice. Which means, why was he so impressed? Then right away he ran to rectify the situation. He didn't question, he didn't ask, he didn't delay. He said, 40 years I never saw such an honest guy that goes to follow the halakha like this. Hadar v'ateh. Then he comes back to him, the guy, to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. V'amar leh, my mi'ibad. So, well, what am I supposed to do now? Which means, what did he come back for? Because first of all, he wanted to stop the situation.
No.
Right now, if they stop the payment and all that, it's okay. Now give me the answer now. Rabbi, how do I deal with this? And that's why Rabbi was so impressed that he didn't even stay around to get
the full answer
because he wanted at first to stop the issue from happening. He tells him, what do I do over here? Amar le afkar zetaya lahashokhaya. Take your olives and make them hefker for the hashokhaya. Hashokhaya is for the darkened ones. That's the poor people because their life is dark. Veten pertaya lekeshkushe karmaya, and pay the workers, not for pirot shivyarit.
Regular payment.
Pay the workers regular payment for their plowing. That's the right thing to do. So now the point is, it should be known, he doesn't have to really make it hefker for the aniim. You could benefit from them yourself. The point is, you have to make them hefker, even for ashirim. He just told them la'aniim
zlavdavka. Yeah.
The point is that you cannot hold on to them yourself. Hefker, you also can go to the field and take them just like anybody else. Good. Now the Gemara asked the obvious question. What do you mean? How come the rabbi didn't get him about the plowing? Are you allowed to plow fields during Shemitah? That Tanya, we learned in the Braita, in the seventh year, Teshmetena, have to abandon your fields and leave them. So the Gemara says, Teshmetena min kashkesh. You have to leave them from plowing. Untashta, and abandon them min sakel. The sakil means you cannot clean the stones, right? You have like rocks in the field. You can't clean the field from the stones. So Amar Rav Ukba bar Hama, tre kashkushe avu. Now there's two types of plowing. Had situme pile. One is where you have the roots of the tree, they became uncovered. Now, when the roots of the tree are uncovered, very bad for the tree could die. So what do? You take the dirt and you cover up the roots. Now, that's not going to enhance your tree, but what it's going to do is it's going to stop your tree from dying. Okay, that's just maintenance. Now, vehad abruye ilane. And there's another type of plowing which is called abruye, that she says that's actually making holes by the roots of the trees, and that makes it softer in order to enhance the tree. So either abruye means to pierce holes, or that she learns abruye from Lashon Dehavri, Bari, to make the tree healthier. I mean, to do things of plowing, that's going to make it healthy. There's two types of plowing. So the Gemara says, Abruye ilane asur. If it's a type of plowing that enhances the tree, that makes it healthy, or piercing the ground to make it soft, that's asur. Situme pile share. But if it's just covering the roots, mutar. So that's what the type of plowing these guys were doing over here. They were just covering the roots. That's why he didn't tell me anything about them. He said, the plowing is mutar. This is just the maintenance. You're just keeping the tree from dying. The problem he had was the payment method. And that's why I told him, you know, make an ifkir and just give the payment from your own pocket. Good? Amar aibo mishum rabbi el azar bar tzadok. Best halakha. Al yalech adam barbe shabbatot yoter migimel parsaot. On Erev Shabbat, a person should not travel more than three parsaot. Now, how much would that be? A parsa is, let's say, a 72-minute walk. And the amount of time that a person could walk in three 72-minute intervals. If, let's say, a person technically can walk 2 to 3 miles in a 72-minute interval. I see, talking like 9 miles, 10 miles. Person should not travel on Erev Shabbat. Okay, on Friday. So comes the Gemara and says, "What's the discussion? You travel where? Where's he going? What's the issue?" Amar Rav Kahana, lo amaran ela lebete. This is talking to his house, which is talking about a guy's out of town. He wasn't home during the week. He's far away. He shouldn't travel when he's that far away. Don't go home.
Be that far.
Towards your home on Friday. What's the reason? So that she says, first wide line, Ela lebete. Actually, lo yalech. Ela yishbot lo be'od yom gadol v'yachin lo saudat Shabbat. Let him stay wherever he is.
And prepare for
Let him prepare the Shabbat meal wherever he is and finish. Ela lebete, sholech lebeto. Now, ve'em enam yodrim sheyavo ayom. His family doesn't expect him to come home. He's so far away, he's not coming home. What's going to happen? Ve'en mechinim nitzorko. They're not going to make dinner for him. They're not going to prepare food for him. Vehu kores alehim. He's going to show up, and there's not going to be any food for him. Well, you're here? We didn't expect you. We're so far away. What happened? And now he's going to get angry. So the rabbi said, you know what? If you're that far away, stay where you are. Prepare your food. And don't get involved. However, aval ushpizeh. But if, let's say, he's going to a guest. He's a guest. He's going to an inn to Shabbat. They're going home. Amai denakit samich. What he's carrying with him, that's what he'll rely on. Rashi, eno somech al bnei abayit v'noseh imo se'uda v'al mas shebiyado nesmach. Because when a guy's going to as a guest in an inn, he doesn't rely on them to make him any food. He has his own provisions. So he's not going to get angry. Whatever he has, he'll rely on that to eat. When he goes home, he's relying on what? The food of his house.
Yeah.
And therefore, since they're not expecting him to come home, so therefore he's going to get angry. So he told us, if you're three pesos away, stay put. But if you're going to the Ushpiza, and then we have some food with you, so bring your food to the Ushpiza, no problem. That's the first opinion. However, the Gemara says, Vika de Amar is another version. Amar Afkana, lo nitzrecha ela afilu lebete. And they're looking at the opposite way. They're saying that certainly, if you're three pesos, certainly you should not go to the hotel. We'll see now. But not only the hotel, even your house you shouldn't go to. Why? Look at Rashi. Afilu lebeto dema shemotze imeat imrav shelo. Which means, listen, bottom line, when you go to your house, whatever you're going to find in your house is yours. Whether you find a lot of food or a little food, it's your house. Afal piken lo yalech. Still, even though it's your house, your food, all that, don't go, because they're not going to be prepared. All the boys are going to go to a hotel. They have nothing for you over there. Just live out in your house. You might find something that belongs to you. Still, the logic of this shita is what? They're worried you're not going to have the proper provisions for Shabbat. You're not going to have enough. So even if you're going to show up to your house, you might have little provisions, it's not going to be Kabbalah Shabbat. Therefore, certainly to a hotel where the stuff does not belong to you, so we're not assuming the guy's provisions with him and all that. But the guy's going to come home, not find enough stuff. Certainly in a hotel where the stuff does not belong to him, therefore if you're 3 parsaot away, spend Shabbat where you are. Get your goods over there. Don't start going now to a place. So the Gemara tells a story. Amar Rav Kahana, Bididi hava uvda. He says, it happened to me, a story, that I was 3 parsaot away from my home, and I came home. And what happened? Va'afilu kasad arsana lo ashkeha. I didn't even find breaded fish, which means the Gemara says in Shabbat, the minimum kavod Shabbat is kasad arsana. Little fish, like a sardine, with some kemah on it. That was the minimum Shabbat that they used to have. So he says, it happened to me. He's fortifying his opinion, the second opinion. The second opinion is, even to your house, even if it happened to me, I came home, I didn't even find kasad arsana. She says, Sa'uda mu'etet dagim ketanim metugarim bekemah beshomen shilayim. And therefore you see the second shita, that even in your house, you should not, so called shekendi, was be saying that you're not going to find sufficient food.